Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
All right, we are going to be in Genesis 15. We're going to talk about experiencing God's presence in the face of doubt. Fear not, experiencing the promises of God in the face of doubt. Now, the question I want to open up with this morning is, how much of your life is controlled by fear? You may just say, huh, none. How much of your life is controlled by fear? I think maybe more than you may realize. Fear of the unknown or the future. You have those thoughts. What am I going to do for retirement? Do I have enough money saved? Do I have enough money to make it through the week? Breakdowns on vehicles, houses, things like that. Fear not having enough. Fear of others. That's very real sometimes. Sometimes we have that fear of others, what other people will think of us, what they'll say. Fear of who will be president, right? I think some of you are there, right? Fear of terror. You know, back when I was growing up, there was wars. I remember having to go to the post office and do the selective service thing. And that was kind of like, oh, man, that was just kind of a pivotal moment there where I had to think about it. Fortunately, my generation really went through without the Vietnam conflict had passed, and there was a time of peace before then, Desert Storm and all that, and I was too old by then for the most part. But terror has struck in the bombings here, shootings in our nation and around the world. Even as an American, when you travel, you're a target, whether you realize it or not. And when I've taken missions trips, I realize that in some ways, as American, you are a target on your back. There's other countries that don't like America. So fear of that. Fear of climate change. Maybe you're afraid of the food you eat. I don't know. You fill in the blanks. What are you afraid of? Maybe it's sickness and disease. There's a lot of things that we can be afraid of. This past Monday night, I found myself not being able to sleep. I did have some coffee late afternoon. That might have been part of it. But part of it was Daniel had the day off, and so in the afternoon, we went car shopping. It was something that we were supposed to have done like last year, but Aaron's car needed a transmission, so the fund for Daniel got raided and fixed the transmission, and so then we had to build it back up. So he had that day off, so we took the afternoon, went up to Lincoln, looked at a couple places, and came back to Crete. Everything was twice what we had saved, and I said, you know, we're just going to pay cash and hopefully find a deal that would work, and came back to Crete, and they had a car that's a decent car. Actually, we have one son that has a Pontiac Grand Prix. They have a good engine in them, but even that, we bought that one high miles, and a couple weeks into it, the engine started knocking blue, and there you are. So, and it all worked out. But, so we get to Crete, and the car was still a couple thousand above what we had saved. It says, you know, I was okay with that. It's kind of like, yeah, we'll keep looking. Maybe we'll have to do a little more saving here, but wanted to buy a car that at least I don't have to put a lot of money into. But anyway, they didn't want us to leave without buying a car, okay? Felt a little cornered there in that little office. And I said, well, you know, this is what we have saved. You know, I wasn't bargaining. I was just saying, hey, this is what we have saved. When we find a car that's in that price range, we'll go on it. So they come back. One guy says, well, how about, you know, this price? It's still $400 above what we had. It was getting closer, and it's kind of like, well, maybe I'll think about it. And the other guy comes back, and he says, you know what? They came in under what we had saved. Took $2,000 off, right there. End of the month, they wanted to move a car. And then you begin to wonder, oh, is this car really good? Anyway, I went home that night, and of course, I tossed and turned, tried to sleep for an hour, and couldn't sleep. And so I went out on the couch, laid down, and got out my iPad and began to read scripture. And I really began to think, I know myself enough at this stage in life that of what keeps you up late at night, whether it's coffee or whether it's anxiety, fear, things. How many have been there, right? Yeah. Yes, children in general. And so I just did a quick search on my iPad and my YouVersion, and I just put in fear not, did the search. And I know this several times that is a phrase is used in Scripture, but I was amazed at how many times it was used in Scripture, to fear not. And so I began looking through all those, just reading all those, and read for a couple hours, and finally I felt like there was a little more peace in my heart at that point, and my eyes were a little bit tired, and I went to bed and got some sleep that night. All right? We ended up buying the car. But some of the things, Daniel's happy, yes. But some of the things, I don't like making a decision without having not researched everything the way I'd like to. And so that was part of it. So they made me sign an agreement to hold it. The exclusion was Amy had to agree. And I figured, well, we can use that scapegoat, right? She doesn't want to sign off on it. And usually she's the one that says, if anybody's going to say no, it's my wife. So in our family, okay? But I think she was actually kind of okay with it, She was. So then I had to go, well, my wife said. All right. So having said that, out of that, as I began to look at those verses, I thought, this would make a good series. Just because in the day and age we live in, there's a lot of things happening in our world that we could be fearful of. Okay, whether it's health, whether it's terrorism, whether it's climate change, news, the media does not help us out. They always play on that fear because that's what sells, right? That's what sells. So over the next couple of weeks, this is kind of what we're looking at here. Today is experiencing God's promises in the face of doubt. We're going to look at Abraham. Next week we'll be experiencing God's strength in times of weakness. There's times that emotionally, physically, we are just tired. We don't have the strength to go on. And we're fearful. And how can we be strong and have confidence to not fear in those times? Experiencing God's strength in times of weakness. And then April 17th, we're going to kind of make that a youth Sunday. And Melissa Shadoin is right there, and she's taking a missions trip to Africa, this summer. Daniel is taking a missions trip to Costa Rica, okay, going back to your guys' homeland there, all right? And so they're going to be sharing. They still have some funds to raise. We want to partner with them and help them in their fundraising goals. So they're going to share with that, and then Josh is going to help us in that series, continue on the series. Fear not, experiencing God's confidence in the face of insecurity. Sometimes we face insecurity because of our youthfulness or lack of experience. We move into new situations and we lack that confidence that we should have. So he's going to talk about that. And then on the 24th, we're going to talk about experiencing God's provision in the face of anxiety. Anxiety is not a godly thing. And many times it grips our heart and our fears. And then the last one will be experiencing God's healing in the midst of sickness. We can be fearful of that. And I don't believe God. I believe God's word is still to fear not. So this morning we're going to look at the life of Abraham. We're going to be in Genesis 15. I'm reading out of the English Standard Version, ESV. Usually I read out of the NIV, but I did my study in this, and I just like the way they handle it just a little bit better in that. So let's begin in verse 1, chapter 15. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. So after these things, you hear a phrase like that, you have to say, well, what preceded this, right? Okay, just a little bit of a backdrop. And if you go back in your Bible, you'll see in chapter 12, God calls Abraham out of the Far East, okay, Babylon, that area, okay, modern-day Babylon. Modern-day Iraq, I should say, okay? Calls him out of that area. He makes his way west, okay, to where Israel would be now, okay? But that is his homeland. God calls him to leave his people, his family, and to head that way. God, and Abraham listens. He believes God. And then we have a story there. There's a couple things that happen. One of the big ones is that he brings with him his Lot nephew, his Lot, Lot, his nephew. There we go. He brings Lot with him, his nephew, and their herds and their servants become too great, too numerous, and so they have to part ways. And Abraham says, "You take whatever land you want." So Lot chooses the green pastures down by what now is now the Dead Sea. Okay. Prior to the fall of Sodom and Gomorrah, it appeared to have been a very lush and green valley, okay, before God rained down the sulfur from heaven. So Lot chooses the good land, but it's also a very provocative society there, one that was overrun by sexual promiscuity. Anything in Sodom and Gomorrah went. And then some enemies came against Sodom and Gomorrah, took away the residents of Sodom and Gomorrah, including Lot and his family. So Abraham comes in as the cavalry and rescues Lot and his family. And so you see all that take place. And in the midst of that, Abraham doesn't want to become wealthy by the plunder he has made from this rescue. Instead, he gives everything back to whoever belongs and says, "I'm not going to take anything that doesn't belong to me, because I don't want anybody to say that so-and-so has made Abraham rich. There's only been one person that's made Abraham rich, and that is God." Strong statement. And you'll see the first reference to tithing, where Abraham gave a tenth to the priest. We then come to chapter 15. So in the process of this, of God calling Abraham, God's promise to Abraham is, "I'm going to make you into a great nation." Okay? You're just one man, but I'm going to make you into a great nation. Now, if you're going to become a great nation, something needs to happen, right? What is that? You have to have children, right? There has to be some multiplication there. Otherwise, you just remain one person there, right? Okay? And it wasn't happening. Okay? They get to the land of Canaan, and Sarah can't have kids. Bad thing for Abraham, and it's a bad thing for Sarah, because if you could not have kids as a woman in that culture, that was your value. That was your who you were. That was the label you wore. If you couldn't have kids, it was like you weren't worth anything. And Sarah wasn't able to have kids. And so you'll pick up on this. So let's read this. God has already made this promise, but time has passed, like 5-10 years. Okay? And Abraham is beginning to doubt the promises of God. Have you ever done that? You doubt what God has spoken. All right, let's look at this. "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. 'Fear not, Abraham, I am your shield.'" Okay, that's used a lot as a metaphor in Scripture. David used it a lot. Gary read that today. "I am your shield. And I am your reward, and it shall be very great." But Abraham said, "O Lord, will you give me, what will you give me? For I continue to be childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." And there's nothing against Eliezer of Damascus, okay? And if your name is Eliezer, there's no bad thing about that, okay? We have any Eliezers here today? I don't think so. He was a servant. There wasn't anything wrong with that. It's just that the promise that God had gave Abraham was going to be your descendants, your heir, not a servant. And Abraham said, "Behold, you've given me no offspring, and a member of my household shall be my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, "This man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir." And he brought him outside and says, "Look toward heaven and number and the number of the stars. If you are able to number them," then he said to him, "so shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. And he said to him, "I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans," okay, that's over in modern-day Iraq, "to give you this land to possess. But he said, 'O Lord, how am I to know if I shall possess it?'" How am I to know that what you've promised is going to happen? How are you to know that the things that God has spoken to you, your heart, are going to happen? And so Abraham prepares a sacrifice, 3 different animals, I think. And he has a dream or a vision in the process of this where God confirms his promise to him. So let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing over your word. In these moments that we have today, I pray you take your word and speak it to our hearts and to our life. We give you the thanks and the praise. In the name of Jesus we ask. Amen. Amen. What was Abraham afraid of? He was afraid that the promise that God had given him would not come true. Years had passed, and Abraham and Sarah were still childless. And often when God makes a promise, we like to see some evidence, right? I want some evidence, God, that, or at least some progress. Sarah's not even pregnant. She's never had a child. There was no hope. And they weren't getting any younger, okay? They weren't getting any younger. And so Abraham, though, God had blessed Abraham, his livestock, his servants. They were all doing good. The only hang-up is that they couldn't have a child. You know, and the ironic thing of all this is that Abraham is known for his faith. We're going to look at Hebrews in a little bit. He was known for his faith. He is called a person of great faith. And yet, does it look like it in this chapter? He says, God, how am I to know that this is going to happen? I want evidence. I'm doubting. He's human, just like you and me. He wants evidence. See, doubt sees two outcomes. Okay? This could happen, this could happen. What God says will happen could happen, but I also see in reality that this could happen. Right? We go between reality and what God has spoken. And many of us have echoed the words in verse 8, how can I know that this will happen, God? You've spoken this. Dreams, plans, things he's placed in your heart. We want evidence. We want a blueprint. Now, if God ever gives you a blueprint of your life, I want to see it, okay? All right? What show were we watching? We were watching some show, and the lady was all freaked out because her two-year plan wasn't happening the way she wanted it to. It's kind of like, you know, that's the way it is. You have plans, but they change, right? And God rarely lays it all out for us. Sometimes he gives us just enough so that we can take that next step. But we want progress. We want a blueprint. We want the details. And God wants us to trust him. All Abraham knew is that they weren't getting any younger. And so this event takes place in chapter 15. And you might think, well, Abraham is good from here on out. But he wasn't. 5 years later, which is significant, right? 5 years later, turn to chapter 16 in your Bible. Just turn the page, maybe. Maybe it's on the same page. And my message just zapped on me. All right, here we go. Chapter 16, 1 through 4. So this is 5 years later. 10 years they've been living in Canaan. Okay, when God made the promise. So he's been waiting a total of 10 years, 5 years since it was reaffirmed in chapter 15. Now Sarai, her name's not Sarah yet, and Abram, his name's not Abraham yet, had borne him no children, and she had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. We got any Hagars here? No, okay. And Sarah, I think it's more beautiful in the Egyptian name, okay. All right. And Sarai said to Abram, behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Interesting. Notice how she's taking responsibility for it. The Lord has prevented me from having children. She's wearing that label. Go to my servant. It may be that I shall obtain children by her. So there was a custom in that day that if you, the wife, were unable to have children, you could give your husband a servant. Okay? You all see where this is going, right? Does it just have trouble written all over it? Yes, it does. Okay? Some light bulbs should have went off, okay? And Hagar says, here, take my servant. Basically, you're saying, you know, sleep with her, have children through her, and it'll be as if they are my children. And in the English Standard Version, the NIV says, Abraham agrees with Sarah. And I don't know, that just doesn't pack much of a punch to me. I like what the ESV, and it's very literal. It says, Abraham listened to the voice of Sarah. Now, I could have a lot of fun with this, but I won't, okay? All right. And so after Abraham had lived in the land 10 years, the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian servant, and gave her to Abraham as his wife. And we know that she conceives, she gives birth to a son. His name is Ishmael, which is the origination of the Arabs. And the conflict between Israel and the Arabs is still alive today, folks. It's just interesting how those decisions carry out through history and through time. And see, Abraham did what? Instead of listening to the voice of God, he listened to the voice of his wife. Now, what I will say in all this is that marry well. Marry somebody that loves God and that can hear the voice of God just like you. Because if you do that, your spouse can be that sounding board. And often God will confirm things through both of you. He'll speak something to your heart, and your spouse will confirm it, saying, yeah, God has spoken that same thing to my heart. Okay, but if you're both not on the same page, there can be problems. Abraham listened to the voice of his wife Sarah instead of listening to the voice of God, which he had heard so clearly. And so now we have issues, right? Eventually God would give them a son. You have to read on a little bit further into chapter 17 and 18. God does give them a son, but Abraham is now 100 years old and Sarah is 90. Okay, and everything tells you, I haven't had to be able to have kids up to this point. It's not going to happen now, right? Okay, they are past the age of childbearing, and everybody knows it. Sarah knows it. Everybody knows it. And God comes to them and says, you're going to have a child. And Sarah laughs. She goes, ha. Why? Now that I'm worn out, I'm going to have a kid. I don't have energy to chase after him now, right? But God gives him a son, and his name would be Isaac. And God fulfilled his promise. So, in the few moments we have here, what are some points that we can... How can we experience God's promises in the midst of doubt? So here's your notes. First of all, is to allow God to shield your mind. So I'm playing off of that word shield. God told Abraham, I'm going to be your shield. And we need God to be our shield, to shield our mind. Because where does doubt attack? Right here, right? Gets right up in there. That's where doubt says, oh, that can't happen. It doesn't make sense scientifically or realistically. God could never do that. God cannot allow somebody to have a child in their old age. It can't happen. We all know that. Allow God to shield your mind, because that's where it attacks. And we doubt. And sometimes those voices say, you know what, it's been too long, and God won't keep his word. He's maybe forgotten. You know, with all the stuff that God has going in a day, he's probably forgotten, right? You ever thought that? Been too long. Or maybe it's a little bit beyond God. You know, he's all powerful, but I think this one is just a little bit too far beyond him. And we begin to reason. We allow doubt to seep into our heart and our mind. And I encourage you to write down what God has spoken to you and then read and meditate on the promises in his word to fear not. You know, Ephesians 6:16 says, Paul tells us in Ephesians, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. It's interesting that faith is called that shield. It's the opposite of doubt, right? It's the opposite of doubt. We take up the shield of faith by which we extinguish the flaming arrows of doubt and the attacks that come from the enemy, the darts of the evil one. So when the arrows of doubt come cruising in, we hold up the shield of faith. And they are stopped in their tracks. And they aren't allowed to penetrate and destroy our faith. which leads to the second point. Trust God to be your reward. You know, sometimes we look to other things. We look to our own means. Abraham trusted God for a time and a season, and all of a sudden Sarah said, well, why don't you take my servant? And sometimes we trust God, and then we begin to take matters into our own hands, and we think, well, God's not opening up the door, so I'm going to help God out. And when we usually try to help God out, we usually end up with Ishmaels in our life. And God works around those things. He would work around this in Abraham and Sarah's life, but it wasn't pretty. It involved sending Hagar away into the desert with no food. God provided for Hagar and Ishmael. That happened twice. And Ishmael would eventually become into a great nation, but it wasn't what God had planned. And often when we try to do our own thing, we're not patient, we don't wait, we fail to trust God in our weakness, we end up with Ishmaels in our life. And I don't think this means that we don't do anything when we trust God to be our reward. God just doesn't want us home on the couch twiddling our thumbs playing Xbox or watching the Final Four. Okay, nothing wrong with that. Okay, but it doesn't mean that we just don't do anything. The analogy I like is that we try doors. Okay, can we use that expression? That you try a door and see if it's open. Okay, sometimes we try the door and it's locked, right? Now we have two choices. Either we try a different door, or sometimes as we think big guys, we're just going to make it happen, and we just put our shoulder into it, right? We break that baby down. We can do that. But then that's when we have the Ishmaels in our life. And so the analogy I like to use, try the door. If it opens, you walk through it. Sometimes that you walk through the door and the door closes on you. What do you do then? Well, you try the next door. Until you sense God's leading and direction. You know, Paul did this. If you follow in the book of Acts, they were on the providence of what was called Asia then, kind of in the area of Ephesus and Colossae, some of those books you see in your New Testament. And he wanted to go north. And it says that God closed the door. God closed the door. Now, Paul could have probably said, you know what, God, I don't care what you say. I'm still going. Instead, in the middle of the night, he has a dream. He has a vision of a man from Macedonia. And he has this dream that he's supposed to, this man was calling out from Macedonia, which would be Philippi, the book of Philippians. And so they get on a ship the next day, and they go to Philippi. And it's there that a great church is birthed, in the city of Philippi. And you have this book, Philippians. And they would become one of the most instrumental churches that would help Paul on his missionary journeys later. God knows what he's doing. So if the door is locked, try the next door. And keep trusting God. And maybe you're tired of checking locked doors. All I can tell you is that if you try to make it happen yourself, you're going to end up with Ishmaels in your life. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the convictions of things not seen. And see, that really becomes the crucial. We want to believe when we have evidence, when we can see, yeah, okay, I can see it inside. Now I'll believe, right? But to believe when there's no evidence, no hope, you know, Sarah, he keep looking at Sarah, no bump in the middle there, just nothing happening. We want evidence. We want a sign. And so God says to trust him. And he goes on to say in verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. Forever who draws near to God must believe that he exists and he rewards those who seek him. We can force our way through a door that God has not opened. And we can seek our own reward. But it gives birth to things we'll later regret. We trust God for a reward, and we allow God to shield our mind. And when we walk by faith, we honor God in the process. And see, the beautiful thing about Abraham and Sarah's story is that when they finally did give birth to a son, who got the glory and the praise? God did, right? God did. Because everybody knew it wasn't humanly possible. Only God could have done this. And in your life, when God answers those prayers and brings to fulfillment those promises, sometimes we want the credit. And sometimes God is just waiting for that right time so that everybody knows the glory belongs to who? To Him. And we have to be patient. We have to wait. And I know that's not always easy. I remember in our first pastorate, it was just at a time that God had spoken some things into my heart and into my life. I'm having the musicians come. He'd spoken some things into my heart and life, and it just wasn't happening as fast as I wanted it to. And it was really getting to me. And I just remember going to God in prayer. And, you know, God eventually worked those things out and made those things happen, but it wasn't on my timetable. And He worked those things out in a greater fashion than I could have ever hoped or dreamed for. He worked those things out. But we want everything to happen. And we don't want to wait. We don't want to trust. And because of that, sometimes we allow fear to grip our heart, to grip our life. For Abraham, God says to fear not. I am your shield. I am your great reward. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. If fear grips our heart, that's not from God. It's coming from the enemy. And God wants to be our shield. He wants to be our provider. He wants to be our reward. If we will trust Him, if we will wait upon Him. You know, the powerful thing about Abraham, God gives him a son, Isaac. And the story doesn't end there, does it? Because now Isaac is, come here, Everett, about this age, right? And Abraham says, Isaac, we're going to go for a walk today. We're going to go up the mountain, taking a little firewood with us. Yep. Isaac's going, yep. But we get up to the top and we make an altar and there's a problem. What's the problem?
No animal.
No animal, no sacrifice. Yeah. And Abraham says, Isaac, why don't you lay down on the altar? And Abraham, yeah, there. And he, okay, here we'll go with it. Abraham's going, you know, with the knife, and all of a sudden God calls out and says, I know you'll trust me now. And provided a ram in the thicket. And see, Abraham was just like you and me. He doubted. And yet in Hebrews and in the Christian tradition, he's a man of faith. But that didn't happen overnight. He had doubt. He wrestled with all those things just like you and I do. But in that process, in his failures, he learned to trust God and to walk by faith. And you know, and you might beat yourself up saying, man, I'm just so full of doubt. I'm so full of fear. God can never use me. God used Abraham. Abraham was a work in progress. So am I, so are you. And when we get to heaven, who knows what God's going to write in there. Their name might be included and say, man, they were a person of great faith because they trusted me to be their shield and their reward. Amen? We're going to close with that song, Oceans. Would you stand this morning? I want us to close every service. Maybe you don't know Christ as your Lord and your Savior. You don't know Him as your friend. And I want us to lead us in a prayer of salvation. And if you've never invited Christ into your life to know His salvation, His forgiveness, that's the first step. From there, we go on. But that takes a work of faith, too. to trust God that he died on the cross for me and that he can forgive all my sin and all my mistakes, my failures. And you'll think, no way God can do that. Yes, he can. And see, Hebrews says, you know what? If we are to walk with God, we have to believe that he exists and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. That's the first step. And then it gets tougher from there, but we still walk by faith. Amen. Let's pray together, saying, dear God, come into my heart and into my life. Forgive me of my sin. And I ask you to be my Lord and my Savior. And I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And Lord, this morning I just pray over each one of us here. There's probably not a one of us that have had doubt in our mind, in our heart. And at times it's kept us awake at night. It's maybe even caused health issues within our life because fear has gripped us in the form of doubt. And Lord, I pray especially for people that God, you've shared some things, some plans, some direction in their life. And maybe days, years have passed and it seems like, are those things ever going to happen? Are those things ever going to take place? And the doubt grows with each day. And Lord, we have to come back to your word and what you've promised, that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that you are our shield and our great reward, and that you will not forget us. And you call us to fear not and to trust you with our whole life. And Lord, I just pray that you would strengthen us. Lord, help us to recognize fear for what it is, that it is not of you, that it comes from the animal, it comes from the devil, but you have called us to live in your peace, in your joy, and in your presence. And Lord, I know those are words, and it takes a lot to live that out in our life. But Lord, you can bring us to that place where we can trust you ultimately with our whole life, with all that we have, so that we can be like an Abraham who's willing to lay his promised child on the altar and saying, God, it's in your hands. I don't know how you're going to work it out, but I can trust you with my whole life. God, that's where you want to bring us. We give you the thanks this day. In your name we ask. Amen.